said what?
How could they do something like that?
Are you serious?
What a thirsty MF-er.
Not good. She's absolutely dead to me.
That's because she died.
I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. And welcome to
Bad Behavior.
A morally questionable podcast.
We're two unqualified friends.
Two unhinged comedians.
Determined once and for all what is good.
And what is bad. Hello and welcome to Bad Behavior. I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton.
Did you not hear that?
Okay, Sterling's dog is dying to be in her quote-unquote studio with her. Sterling, maybe you should just let the dog be in the opening with us.
No, because she does little tap, tap, tap with her little nails on the hardwood floor, and it's like annoying.
But can I tell you, okay, so the gym I go to, all the people that work out bring their dogs, and when they walk across the hardwood floors with their little nails, I'm like, oh, it's so cute. It's very, what's that YouTube series where the sounds are very, like, tactile and comforting? ASMR. It's very ASMR for me.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
So get that dog in there. Let him beat on the microphone with his nails.
Yeah, do something. Actually, today's going to be an ASMR episode. Welcome to Bad Behavior. Maybe we'll get more listeners if we start doing that.
Ooh, I would be so on board.
But a lot of people actually really, really hate that. So
do they really?
Well, some people really do, but I love it.
Do you listen to it at night when you go to bed?
Sometimes. I used to like every single night watch ASMR videos, and I've weaned myself off.
Do you listen to anything when you go to bed?
I usually do kind of a 30-minute TikTok scroll, which is what the doctor orders. They actually says, do that.
And oh,
I do.
Yeah.
And I say,
and I'm sure the blue light from the phone really helps.
Yeah, no, it's really good. My eyes have never felt better.
More alert.
How are you doing, Blair? How was your weekend?
Well, I had a very, can I just say, as someone who's been living without a roommate for the past 2 years, it's amazing how much time I'm spending in Home Depot. This feels like too much for a homosexual in New York.
Wait, I don't understand what Home Depot has to do with a roommate.
Well, it's just I've been going there more since I don't have a roommate.
Oh, because usually your roommate goes to Home Depot?
I guess. I mean, I never went to Home Depot beforehand, but now I'm going like all the time. But no, I spent all day building this furniture and I actually broke a piece, so I had to go buy wood glue. And then when I went to Home Depot, I was looking at the different wood glue. There's so much variety of wood glue. It was astounding. And then I was like, ooh, do I need a plant in my apartment? Do I need something living that's cleaning the air? Mm. And I went to go look at the plants, but I talked to the plant lady and I was like, what is the one that has the least amount of maintenance that I won't have to worry about forgetting to water or fertilize or all that junk? And they're like, just get a cactus. And then I was like, oh, Sterling has that, but it feels too dangerous.
I have a cactus needle literally in my finger right now. I don't understand how I'm getting so many cactus needles on me. I swear to God, they're like shooting out at me in the middle of the night. I wake up with cactus.
Are you just touching your plant a lot?
You'll literally never believe. I don't touch it at all.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I have a theory.
What?
Okay, you know how your dog is like kind of obsessed with you as
evident,
oh,
yeah,
by the way,
I'm worried. He's been barking. I'm getting cactus needles for my dog.
What if, is it he or she?
As a girl. We would never have a man in the home.
Well, can I? You know, growing up as a kid, I used to think dogs were male and cats were female.
Yeah, that is classic.
So I still hold on to that theory. But maybe she is just so annoyed with the way you keep locking her out that she is like taking the cactus with her paws and just applying it to your hands.
Yeah, maybe. But you know what I also did yesterday? I've entered a new era. I'm now in my tennis era. Yesterday, I played tennis with a friend.
How good?
Bad. I would say my day was this. Ready? Mm-hmm. We looked for a tennis racket, 3 different stores for 2.5 hours. We kind of went to a store that was a tennis store. The rackets, you'll never believe this, $200. We said, that's a little much for girls who are probably going to give up this hobby in about a week.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we go to Target number 1, no tennis rackets. We go to Target number 2. Now we're getting hungry. We're kind of 2 hours in. Now we're getting a Starbucks sandwich, which
I would have given up at this point.
I've never tried before, but I was interested in this little egg sausage sandwich. And I'm late to the
game.
Oh,
wait, which one did you get?
Egg sausage cheddar?
Oh, you should get the Gouda one.
But yeah, so we did that. Then we got our tennis rackets, ate our sandwich, and you'll never believe, then we start playing tennis in the heat. And then we say, actually, now those sandwiches are kind of heavy in us. And we lost maybe about 20 minutes. But it was still fun, and I'm excited, and I'm going to keep everyone updated if I end up in Wimbledon this summer. Is that when they play?
If you do get in, I do not want to come watch.
What? You wouldn't come watch Wimbledon? Are you just, one, I feel like it'd be fun. And two, okay, I feel like there's kind of cute people there.
I don't know. It's too much of a risk at my entertainment level. I just don't want to be bored in the heat, you know?
No, I feel like it would be fun. But do you know what is guaranteed to be more fun today, Blair, is our guest that we have on.
Oh my God. I absolutely love this person. So she's an actress and podcaster, best known for An Acquired Taste. It just ended its 7-year run. She currently is the co-host of the brand new podcast, The Check-In. Please make welcome the wonderful Bethany Watson.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Bethany. It's such a treat to have you on.
It is my absolute pleasure. I'm so excited you asked. So thank
you. And
who
are you most excited to see in this recording?
Okay. I am most excited to see Sterling because we have not yet met. But Blair, I have to say, it's really good to see you. I've missed seeing your face every month. When I used to come into Audio Boom to record. And, you know, we would have our little chats and we would catch up.
Our chats were mostly trauma-based.
But. Yeah, totally trauma-based. Like, here's what I'm about to talk to my therapist about. But you know what? That's like instant friendship.
It really is true. Like, I would actually run stuff by you that I was going to talk to my therapist about.
Really?
Oh, for sure.
And was he paying you or?
Friendship. Friendship. Okay. You know what? I think as I'm getting older and older, I'm realizing I'm grumpier and grumpier. So the friends that I can keep are important and valuable.
So Bethany, you have a podcast, a new podcast called The Check-In.
Yes, I do.
As we're starting off our episode today, we wanted to do a little check-in with you.
Oh, I love
this. Because something happened last week.
Oh no.
We'll reveal to the listeners, Blair and I had to cancel. We had to cancel. So we wanted to check in with you. Mm-hmm. And if you had any hard feelings towards us, if you kind of wanted to express any grievances, we wanted to give you some space.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. I am of two minds because as an introvert and aforementioned grump, I love a canceled plan. If I have something that I am ready to go to and it gets canceled, that's a free night. And so I was really excited to do the podcast. I'd been like binge listening to episodes, like getting the vibe, falling in love with Jo Firestone. I listened to her episode 3 times. So there was that part of me that was like, yay. But then there was also the part of me that had put on makeup and like was feeling cute, cuter than I feel today. Today, I sort of, I almost cut my own hair like 20 minutes before we started recording this.
Oh, wow.
How short?
I almost cut 3 inches off my own hair dry, just
that
eyeballing it.
That bigger than 3 inches.
That? I don't know. I'm not good at that. What is this? What is this? I'm holding
That's
it up. There's a curl at the end.
So. I'm getting six. I've seen six inches in my life. Am I right, ladies?
I almost cut an average length off my hair. So I'm a little flustered. I'm a little bit at sixes and sevens today. So I think last week would have been a better version of Bethany, but sometimes the best things happen unexpectedly.
Sure. So, but do you think we should start this episode with a disclaimer that you're not bringing your A game? It's more of a B or C game.
Just if you can start it saying that the listeners may be able to hear my split ends and my tamped down rage. If we can, if that can just be like something that everyone kind of knows going in, that would be really good for me.
Okay, great.
Definitely. If I could throw my co-host under the bus.
Sure.
I also kind of had my full face of makeup done. I was very excited. And we were having a Wi-Fi issue. Kind of the Wi-Fi is out on Blair's end.
Guys, I also got ready too. I put on a nice shirt. I put on my funnest glasses.
Your funnest ones? What color are they?
Ones were I wearing? I was either wearing the ones that people say I look like I own a van, or the ones that make me look like a 1950s newscaster. I can't remember because time isn't real.
Yeah, time's a flat circle. Which ones are these?
These are, I'm an accountant.
Or a boy wizard.
Okay, well, I think we all feel better. We're all feeling okay to embark on today.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I have been loving your podcast, The Check-In. What do you think is a good average check-in in a romantic relationship? Or you could even say for friendship.
So we only do our podcast twice a month because it would be too much if we did it every week. And we have been so lucky to have just wonderful, such supportive listeners say, can you please come out with this every week and we say with love, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Because to plan to, because it's not just planning a podcast, which might seem fairly easy, and sometimes it is, but it's also 50% more, oh, we have to remember to do this thing when we're both like in a relaxed state. And then all of a sudden one of you remembers a work thing. And so then now you're talking about work at a time when normally you would just be hanging out. It would be like 50% more of that every month, which is kind of like a drive-by punch in the face when you don't want to be thinking about work. So I would say twice a month is pretty good. I would recommend twice a month.
To follow up on that.
Sure.
Doing a show with your lover, is that the preferred I think term?
Boyfriend feels weird when you're a grown-up, so lover feels right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So doing a show with your lover.
Yeah.
And you also live with your lover.
I do, and I work with my lover.
So there's a lot of happening. So do you find yourself, when the cameras aren't rolling or the mm-hmm. mics aren't on, not speaking, just to save that content?
It's funny you say that. Okay. We both have notes in our phone of things to bring up on the podcast. So we will actively stop conversations from happening. Like if we're driving in the car and we're going someplace and someone says something, the other one is like, shut up. Put a note in your phone. We'll readdress this at the podcast. So there's like countless conversations we never have because we're waiting for the pod.
So wow. Do you even act out arguments on the podcast too? Has it come to that?
Yes. Yet? Yes. Ooh. So we have a segment called Radical Candor Corner. And so one person brings up something to the other person that has needed to be talked about for kind of a while. And now we're going to just hash it out on the podcast.
Wow. Okay. So yeah.
You're both taken aback.
I am.
Monetize your relationship. Like monetize everything. This will end our relationship, but man, we're going to try to make money as we go down.
How deep have the arguments gone?
They're usually something around like the last one.
You seem nervous to answer.
I'm trying to think of the most hardcore one. I think like they're typically something about, like, Dennis had to confront me about the fact that I will actively eat food off the floor. And he's like, you need to stop, you know, eating from the garbage. And I'm like, but if there's good food in there, like, we don't want to waste it. So it's like usually sure. that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It hasn't gotten to I'm having an affair levels, but I feel yeah. like if you're going to do it, you might as well do it on your podcast, right? Like, that's going to be... That listenership is going to be real high.
Okay.
Now, this is a random question, but you're talking about discussions in a car. My friends and I always have this debate.
What's that?
I believe when you're kind of maybe going to bring up a topic that could be contentious in a relationship, uh-huh. I have a rule not in the car.
Ooh.
I think it's a terrible place.
Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm.
Because obviously there's a driver who needs to be looking at the road. You're not Ooh. Getting that eye contact. You're not getting that like physical potentially touch of like reassurance.
Yes.
And so I think like it can feel like a great place to bring things up because it's like you have this time and this space together. But I believe just because of the environment, it's a terrible place to bring things up. Like I think wow. things can get so misconstrued because you're not able to actually look into each other's eyes.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts and feelings on this?
I have never thought of this before, but Sterling, I have to say, I think I agree with you. As someone who's had some pretty tense conversations in cars, it's fraught because you're stuck also. And if you're with somebody who maybe needs to walk away for a second to gather their mm-hmm. thoughts, that's not possible, which is why airplanes have so many fights in them, is because mm-hmm. it's like people, when people are stuck, and then they're like caged animals and, you know, heaven forbid anything bad happen, like you decide you're going to take both of you guys out. You know, whatever. Like, there's so many risks inherent. And I think having a fight when you're barreling down the highway at like 65 to 70 miles an hour is probably not the best idea.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So on this podcast, we like to play a game called Heaven or Hell, in which we'll present several examples of a topic and you'll decide if they are heaven or hell, or if you're indifferent, you can simply say purgatory.
Great.
Now, as someone who loves the horror genre, we are going to present you several scenarios and you as a viewer are going to rate them either heaven or hell or, again, purgatory.
Okay.
Okay. So Sterling, kick us off.
A group of best friend cheerleaders rent an Airbnb for graduation, but when they arrive, their ex-best friend, the heir to VRBO, is waiting in a closet to punish them for choosing her family's rental home competitor.
Wow. I'm going to say hell.
Okay.
I know that rental properties are very good, very creepy locations in real life and a good idea for a horror movie, but I've seen a couple that have been kind of tough and not great. And I think,
for example,
I'm not going to say there's a couple that have been like, oof. So I'm going to say Helen. Also, I'm just really sick of seeing cheerleaders murdered. Okay. You know, they're just trying to
even
do
by
their
each
thing.
Other.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Let's try to like maybe a different clique, a different high school clique, you know, like maybe the chemistry club. It's time for them. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. They're already walking on the dangerous side. So.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Number two. A tight-knit group of neighbors throw their annual block party, inviting the town's clown, Silly Bones. This is the first time I'm reading this, by the way. After drinking an infected batch of Skittle water.
Oh, no.
A big fan of, by the way. Silly Bones no longer feels like clowning around. He feels like murdering.
Yeah.
Heaven or hell.
I feel like murdering, he says. I'm going to say heaven. Clown-based horror movies are awesome. You know, Art the Clown is huge. There's also a horror movie I love called, it's got an awful name, but I actually also love the name. It's called Hell House LLC. Is this amazing horror movie? I love it that they had to start a limited liability corporation and like that made it into the title of the movie. And there's also clown-based horror in that, which is really good. So I'm going to say this is heaven. I'm all in. Plus, I love neighbors having to come together, you know, people from different backgrounds and like all different walks of life have to figure out how they're going to work together. I love this.
What would you call this movie?
I think it would just be called Murderin. But the eye at the end, you know, the Murderin, that eye would be like a honk nose. Okay. Or the pom pom at the top of his hat or something.
And then the what's that little?
The little apostrophe?
The little apostrophe could actually be a knife.
Yes, absolutely. I think there's a lot. This is very ripe. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Blair, I can't wait for you to. I can't believe you haven't read these. They're so insane. This might be the most insane thing I've ever read.
They're also really long.
I love this.
An inseparable pair of best friends decide to hike the Appalachian Trail. They run into a seemingly friendly hiker who, unbeknownst to them, is a recently escaped serial killer. And this killer will do anything, and I mean anything, for Nature Valley granola bars, a snack the best friends have in their possession.
Were you hopped up on Skittles water when you wrote this?
No, I made them all goofy by the end. They're all like kind of normal tropes, and then I make them goofy.
So I'm going to say heaven for this, and here's why.
Okay.
Because I'm really, first of all, nature is so scary. Like, why would you hike at all? Mm-hmm. So I love the idea of these friends having to survive with the driest, crumbliest, loudest granola bar ever. Because, like, you get Nature Valley granola bars. The peanut butter ones are my favorite.
Yeah,
and they immediately dissolve into powder in your hands and your mouth. And to crunch down on these things, both the serial killer and the victims are going to be making so much noise. And I think it's really going to be fun to see how this works out.
All right, our next one. A private jet with six of the world's top CEOs crashes on a remote island, and they are left to try and live off the island until help arrives. After days of starving, they begin to resort to cannibalism. Choosing which CEO will survive depending on how their company's stock is doing in the Dow Jones market.
hell, because it's just going to be six of the worst people in the world. And I'm like, I don't want to see their stories because I know that it's probably infuriating. And as long as I know that they probably all die at the end, you know, awesome, because I bet that they're not running their company with very many moral decisions.
Writing it, I was like, there is a big plot hole in this description. And I don't know if you know, it's how they're somehow on a remote island, no help, but also able to check the stocks every day.
Check the stocks. It doesn't matter.
Really caught that.
It doesn't matter. Nope. Don't worry about it.
I was like, they have one bar and they can refresh stocks, but nothing else. Okay. Okay. Next one.
Okay.
On her deathbed, a mother places a curse on her two entitled children who have missed her birthday every year to attend Coachella. The son and daughter don't think much of the curse until they're atop the giant Ferris wheel at Coachella and it starts breaking apart in front of their eyes.
Absolute heaven. A mother placing a curse on her children right before death is amazing. As someone who is childless, I don't understand a mother's love. I've heard it's more intense than the love I have for my cat, but I don't know how that could be true.
Fair.
So the idea of cursing your own children is awesome, especially if they are Coachella children. I think this is great. It has a little bit of Final Destination in it with like big things breaking. Yeah, no, I love this. I feel like it could be a franchise. So yeah, I say heaven to this one.
Okay. And our grand finale. A young newlywed couple moves into an idyllic Connecticut duplex, only to discover that in the attic is old Jane Fonda workout VHS tapes that read, "Do not watch." Their curiosity gets the better of them, and they pop it into their TV, only to be transported into a real-life Jane Fonda's 80s workout, where if they don't complete the workout, the punishment is death by dumbbell.
Oh my God, heaven. I'm on board. I love attics. I love discovering things in attics. We just moved into a home in upstate New York, and in our attic, we rent. So our landlord has a cooler, like an ice chest up there with stains of liquid, dark liquid coming down the side of it that have since dried. I refuse to look into, I just am going to leave it there, but I love a spooky thing in the attic, just knowing that it's there. I love Jane Fonda. I love that the tapes are cursed. I love a cursed tape. This is 100%. I'm all on board with this.
Now, if you had the opportunity to audition for this movie.
Yeah.
What role do you want?
I want the role of the first in line background exerciser. So okay. Not Jane Fonda,
okay.
But her, the one that she's like, if you're an expert, you're going to follow Bethany. And I'm like waving. I don't do the bent knee pushups. I do the hardcore pushups, right? And I feel like the woman is there to take my place when she gets transported into the 80s. And so I'm going to have to murder her.
Okay.
So I get to have some crazy eyes. I get to wear some like, you know, belts around my leotard.
Okay.
That's the role that I would really like to play.
What's the character's name?
Amanda.
Amanda. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was the game. I hope you had a blast.
Thank you so much for
playing. You so much.
There's absolutely no prize.
That's fine. It's like life, right?
Right.
That's
exactly.
So true.
Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
All right, so I think you have a story for us. Maybe something that might fall, is it in the right or is it the wrong, that Blair and I can kind of help you with today. So whenever you're ready, jump on in.
So here's what happened. I used to work in a fairly high profile job in morning radio. And when I had this job, it wasn't unheard of for me to be recognized on the street. It didn't happen a ton, but it didn't floor me if it happened, because we were based in New York. And so, you know, New Yorkers would, New Jersey would listen and they'd be like, oh my God, you know, you're Bethany. So One day I was walking near Central Park. I had a doctor's appointment, and my primary care physician's place was right across the street from Central Park. So I was walking down the street, and you know that Central Park is a lot of tourists. And as I'm walking, this father and son, who are not from here, in my head, they're from Eastern Europe, but that's probably not right. They might be from Philly, but like in my head, they had like thick, like, you know, thick, like Russian accents or something.
Okay.
So they come up to me and they're very excited. It's like a father and then his kid who's like 13. And they run up to me and they're like, I'm not going to do an accent because this is not going to be one. Yeah. They're like, oh my gosh, you're on that show. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're her. You're on that show. And I was like, yeah. And they said, we love you. Our daughter loves you. Or my daughter loves you. My sister loves you. And I'm like, where is she? Well, she's back home. She didn't get to come on vacation, but she loves you. She's going to be so excited that we met you. I was like, that's amazing. And so, you know, we talked a little bit. They're like, you have to be up so late. And I was like, I do have to be up so late and like wake up super early. And they're like, you must be tired all the time. And I was like, I am tired all the time. It's morning radio. I'm always tired. And they just keep emphatically stating how excited their daughter slash sister is going to be when they reveal that they've met me. I'm like, this is profoundly nice. And they're really excited to meet a radio person. So then they're like, can we take a picture with you? I said, absolutely. And so, you know, I lean down. I have long gorilla arms because I'm 5'10". So I take the picture. And we're all smiling. They're super excited. And then they said, our favorite thing you do is your Justin Bieber impression. And that's when I realized that they thought I was Kate McKinnon.
Okay.
And then they asked if they could have my autograph. And I said, yes. And I signed Kate McKinnon and sent them on their way. So in the moment, I felt like this was like the right thing to do because I didn't want to dash them once we'd had all of this love. We'd been like love bombing each other, you know, for like a couple minutes at this point. Okay. And so to like have built up this rapport and this relationship with these people from across the world and then only to say like, oh, I'm not the person you thought I was. It would have been awful.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then mm-hmm. I think about the response that the girl must have had when they came back home. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you'll never believe it. We met Kate McKinnon, your favorite. And she freaks out. They hand her the autograph. It says Kate McKinnon. Mm-hmm. They show her the picture. And it's just this giant forehead who also happens to have blonde hair. And the disappointment that she must have felt. And then does she think less of her father? Maybe he doesn't listen to her as much as she thought he did. Her brother, maybe he doesn't pay attention. Like all of these things that may have come from this complete misunderstanding and then me not correcting the situation. Mm-hmm. So that is something that I think about at least once a month. And I wonder if I did the right thing.
Wow.
Because also I don't want to be out there representing Kate McKinnon in a way that maybe she wouldn't want, you know, like maybe she doesn't like to be overly effusively, you know, huggy with random people on the street like I definitely was. So I also am like, maybe I don't know.
Can I ask you this? Okay. Because earlier in the podcast, you referred to yourself as like grouchy.
Yeah.
Was this the moment where the grouchiness began? Because
I think so.
You lied essentially.
I definitely lied. It probably got that ball rolling of like feeling very loved and appreciated, only to have them love and appreciate someone totally different. Yeah, that probably got that dance started. Yeah.
Now I have a few questions, and they're going to be more logistical, technical questions.
Of course.
What was your signature like? Did you do kind of like high school cursive, like really spelling out the letters, or did you just do kind of a line?
See, now that's another thing that I'm worried about because I definitely wrote out like pretty K, Kate McKinnon. And I don't think that that's probably how she would actually sign something. You know, she's so famous that it's probably like a big K and then like a quick line. And I think that that would have been more accurate and a better thing to do. But I was so, I was like shocked and I didn't really know what to do. So I absolutely legibly signed out Kate McKinnon.
No, what did you sign? Was it just like a random piece of paper? Was it, what
yeah,
was it?
It was like a piece of notebook paper that he had with him. Like he pulled it out of his fanny pack and he's like, can you sign this thing? And I, you know, I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Was there anything else on the paper or is it just lines?
No, nothing. It was like he had taken a page out of a college ruled notebook and ripped out the bottom corner. And it was like a palm sized piece of paper that he just had in his fanny pack.
Do you know if you spelt her name correctly?
I do not. I think it's M.C. K-Innon. I-N-N-O-N?
Okay. I'm going to spell it out for you right now. Okay. And you tell me if this sounds close to what you wrote.
Okay.
Okay. Her first name is Kate. K-A-T-E.
Got it. Nailed that one.
Last name, McKinnon. Uh-huh. M, little C, big K, I-N-N-O-N.
That's what I wrote.
Okay.
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 So I nailed that part of it.
And I'm going to percolate on this a little bit. I'm not in a legal realm of life, but I did just get scammed a week ago. And so scamming is on my brain.
Sure. Yeah. And your real sense. I'm sorry to bring up such a sensitive topic right now.
It's okay.
It's triggering, actually. It's,
yeah. Are you okay?
I'm okay. We lost $70 to Shania Twain concert tickets, and that was a scam. And that's okay because we kind of knew we were getting scammed. But my only question is, were you kind of giving away a signature that could be used in something, legal document? I don't know. Like, is that kind of a prized possession that if, and especially, I hate to be like this, a random man from your, I don't know. I hate to be like this.
But, no.
We think they're just, we think they really, really were father and son.
We don't know for sure. Well, so I just recently learned that the royal family is not allowed to sign anything in public because they're such huge targets of fraud. And so someone could take their signature, copy it, and I don't know, open a credit card for, you know, Kate Middleton or whatever. So I did potentially...
Can I just say I applaud your bravery for bringing up that evidence to the people who are weighing if you're good
or bad. I know. I just even, as I said it, I realized.
I was like, probably it doesn't mean anything because literally kind of when I sign my, every single time I get like a receipt, I'm kind of just doing loop-de-loop. Like, it probably doesn't matter to me to have a signature.
I mean, it probably doesn't, but also I think the fact that I was signing someone else's name, I'm, like when I sign my own name, I'm giving myself consent to potentially put myself at risk like that. But I put Kate McKinnon at risk without her consent.
And I'm not sure if you're familiar with a product called Silly Putty. But Silly Putty has the ability to, when you lay it down on written words, it copies it.
Yes, it does. Fix it right up.
Do with that what you will.
Thank you. I feel worse.
And did you think that these men had Silly Putty on them?
Look, they had quarter sheet of paper in their fanny pack. He could have had anything. You know, it was a real Mary Poppins bag situation.
Now, have you ever been mistaken for any other celebrity? Or has it only been this one isolated incident?
There was an incident on an airplane where... The nice thing about working in radio and other, like, you know, entertainment-based jobs is you get a lot of, like, free promo stuff. And so at the beginning of my radio career, I got a America's Next Top Model running jacket. And then just on the left lapel, it just says America's Next Top Model. And I was wearing it on an airplane because I was just the right amount of chilly. And a man behind in the row behind me taps my shoulder from betwixt the seats. And I turn around and his young daughter is there. And he was like, are you on the show? And I didn't remember what I was wearing, but I was working in radio at the time.
Yeah.
And I said, yes. And he was like, you're on the show? I said, yes. He goes, what's your name? And I was like, Bethany. And his daughter looked confused, like she was trying to place me. And he was like, but you're on the show, yeah? And I was like, yes. And then the daughter was like, I don't know. And then he pointed to my jacket and he was like, congratulations. And then I realized he thought I had been on America's Next Top Model and his daughter was confused. And that hurt my feelings because every time I walk around in that jacket, every single time someone looks at the lapel and then looks at me and gets confused. And I'm like, Oh, man.
But did you correct
this man? No. No. I was mortified, and so I just turned around.
Was the airplane incident before the Kate McKinnon incident or after?
Yes, before. Yeah.
So you kind of had, you kind of have been in this situation before. You didn't take that incident and say, hey, next time people ask me or say, like, are you from this? I should just double check.
Yeah. One might say I didn't learn from my past.
Yeah.
In my defense, I will say I didn't realize until the bitter end that they thought I was someone else. If he hadn't dropped the Justin Bieber reference, which her Justin Bieber impression is amazing, I wouldn't have known, and we all would have parted ways thinking everything was great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then they would have gotten an autograph that said Bethany Watson, and then everyone would have been really confused. So, like, I don't know. But, you know, I didn't learn from my past at all.
I gotta say, Bethany, it's not looking good.
No, I know.
I have kind of a, I guess, an existential question.
Sure.
Pretend I'm Kate McKinnon.
Yeah. First of all, I have such a crush on you. So continue. I have such a crush on Kate McKinnon.
Okay. Keep it in your pants,
Bethany. Okay. Sorry.
I'm pronouncing that correctly. Yes, I'm so famous, I don't know how to pronounce names. But I'm Kate McKinnon, and I just heard about this story, and I'm feeling a certain way about it, but I'm not going to tell you. I want you to say what you would say to her as if I'm her.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Does she know? So she knows the story already.
She knows the story.
Kate, I am so sorry. I just want you to know that I was so nice to them. So they walked away thinking that you were the sweetest. Mm. Like, they don't have a bad thing to say about you now, except that maybe you're a little slow on the uptake because that I didn't realize that what was happening. But you came away smelling like roses. And I will always continue to try to portray us in the best light possible.
Okay, I'm Blair now.
Okay.
Bethany, you just fell right into my trap.
Oh no!
What?
What was the trap? I didn't see it coming.
Seems like you know what you did is bad, and you apologized. Your true self came out with my deceptive trickery.
Oh, no! You're a real Loki.
Wait, why is that bad? I'm losing the thread.
Well, she knows she did a bad thing, and so she apologized. So she's bad. I'm saying you're bad.
I outed myself.
Oh, you outed yourself as the guilty party.
I feel like she was already kind of leaning bad, Blair.
I know, but this just solidified it.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
This is proof of self-awareness of bad behavior.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because you came in thinking, well, I don't know if it's good or bad. And then immediately you're like, I'm so sorry, Kate.
I fell at the feet of Kate McKinnon.
You know you were bad.
No, I feel awful about it.
Have you yourself ever, from age zero to present, wanted to be on SNL?
Yes. Oh. But then I remember how much anxiety and self-doubt I have, and also how tired I always am.
Yeah.
And I feel like I wouldn't be good at it.
One of my thoughts is this. But what is the famous phrase? Like, dress for the job you want or something like that.
I think it's wear a dress for the job.
Yeah, wear a dress for the job if you want.
Wear a dress for the job you want?
I believe that's
I'll look that up later. Yeah.
Don't quote me. Yeah.
There's no way of knowing.
Blair and I are always kind of deliberating. We're very successful, but we could be more.
Yeah.
And we're always kind of like, where did we go wrong? And I think of this, you have this profound confidence. People are coming up to you. They say, hey, we know you. And you say, I'm sure, kind of, in a way, I'm sure you do. You know,
sure, yeah, I'm sure,
right?
You do.
You already are saying, yes, that's me. Whereas Blair and I, I'll maybe even point to myself. We have been in instances where, famously in New York City, we were in a sketch comedy group that was called Sister Wives. And there was an improv group also called Sister Wives. And whenever I mentioned that I was in this group, Sister Wives, the sketch one, people would go, oh my gosh, I've heard of that. And you know what I would immediately say? I'm sure you're thinking of the other group. I'm sure you're not thinking of us. No one has ever heard of us. I'm sure you're thinking of the other. I would immediately be like, we're nobody. Take us out.
Sure, sure, sure.
And now
sure.
Where we are. And you.
Hosting a podcast.
The best podcast.
You said, I'm sure you do know who I am.
Oh, crap.
And look at you now. You kind of are in a, you just saw a deer in your backyard.
I did just see a deer in my backyard.
Blair just showed you where his bedroom is, and it's a hole in the wall. And so now I'm toggling with, the whole, like, the fraud of it all, the scam of it all, the signature, the physical copy. But then also, did this help propel your career? Just having that confidence, gearing up and say, yeah, you probably do know who I am. I am successful. And
I am America's next top model.
I am America's next top model. And how dare you think I'm not?
That, you know what, as proud as that makes me, it also makes me feel like a giant a-hole. Because of course, it's so weird that, like, if someone's like, do I know you? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you do.
I love that. There's no reason. I love that.
I'm so red.
Okay, so Blair, where are you kind of feeling? What are you leaning towards?
I mean, you made a well-executed argument. But speaking from my own personal journey in life, as I walk around as a human who's constantly afraid of really dumb things in hindsight, I'm always afraid that someone's going to steal my identity.
I'm so sorry, Kate McKinnon.
And use it against me. Or even worse, be more successful with it than I
am. And that's what she's done. That's what she's done.
Oh, and now you're placing blame. You were just, ma'am. You know what?
You know what? I'm feeling attacked.
I'm saying bad.
And so I'm going to deflect.
I'm deflecting. Exactly.
And I'm going to say this is Kate's fault for living in New York, which is the city I lived in.
I was seeing remorse earlier, but now that I remember,
you're mad.
An actress.
Now I'm rage filled.
those sympathy and like, oh, I feel so bad. That was acting. You were actressing to her face, Bethany. I saw right through your charade.
You are bad.
You were like that clown who lives in that neighborhood and felt like a murderer.
And drank that Skittle juice.
Skittle water.
I wasn't even listening right.
I think I'm also, unfortunately, going to be leaning bad today. I think, again, you unfortunately caught me 1 week off of being scammed. And so I think for the fraud of it all, because I do kind of love the confidence. And I think if Blair and I had kind of take some of these lessons, we could be further in our careers. I think for today, I'm also going to lean bad.
I understand.
So Blair, let's officially deem Bethany bad behavior.
Thank you.
And because you've been deemed bad today, Bethany, we have a little punishment.
Okay.
A man who once made up a little lie that unfortunately became a big lie was Ryan Lochte. And so this is going to be Olympic swimmer Ryan Lochte's apology. You could read it aloud.
I want to apologize for my behavior last weekend, for not being more careful and candid in how I described the events. I should have been much more responsible in how I handled myself, and for that, I am sorry to my teammates, my fans, my fellow competitors, my sponsors, and the hosts of this great event. Signed, Ryan Lochte.
Wow. And you made him Canadian. I love the acting choice.
Thank you. It was an actor's secret that I had, but you guessed it, and well done.
Yeah. How do you feel?
Cleansed. I have to say, it feels good. You know, I've told the story before. I've never told the full version. It feels good to get it all out there and to be judged for it, because I feel like now the healing can begin.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I do see Kate McKinnon in real life, I feel like she'll probably have already heard this episode. And so we can then just move forward from a place of healing. Yeah. And, you know, for that, I'm grateful to both of you.
Now, real quickly.
Sure.
I want to test you.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm going to set the scene.
Okay.
We are just outside Papaya King.
Oh, my
gosh. You just got yourself a big old dog and a Diet Coke.
Oh, the best.
And a gentleman wearing a fanny pack and a windbreaker comes up to you. Oh my gosh, you're that girl. I love you so much.
Stop, sir. Who do you think I am?
Aren't you Reese Witherspoon?
Yes, I am. Let me sign an autograph.
Oh my God. So we got to have a part two. We need to have a full intervention.
Well, before we wrap up, can you tell listeners where to follow you? Anything upcoming to plug?
Yes, absolutely. listen to my podcast with Dennis Callow, my boyfriend. It's called The Check-In. And there's like 17,000 podcasts called The Check-In because we absolutely didn't do any research when we started it. So if you type The Check-In with Bethany, that will pull up the right one.
Okay.
Also, direct links for everything are on BethanyWatson.com. We also stream on Twitch every Thursday night at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We play video games. We talk to people. And I just started a merch store because I've always wanted to.
I just saw that.
Yeah, it's called Spooky But Sweet because I didn't think I was ever going to go public with it. So I named it Spooky But Sweet. It's on redbubble.com. Again, if you just go to BethanyWatson.com, the link is there. But I love it a lot. It's like spooky merch, but it's fun. There's one of like a cartoon bat and it just says Sky Puppy underneath it. check out my merch.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening today.
We absolutely hate to do this. We hate it.
But it would mean the world to us if you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, rate and review.
Follow us at Bad Behavior NYC on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks again for listening.
And remember, whatever your moral status, we are always here to judge.
Bye. Bye.
Do you think that was good?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.